Turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Our focus text this morning is going to be verse 7. Excuse me, 8 through 11. 8 through 11. But I will begin reading back at verse 1 for context. Before we hear the reading and preaching of God's word, join me once again in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, how wonderful you are in all that you are and all that you have done. We thank you for the giving of your word to us. We thank you that it is your spoken word to us, contains the words of life, wonderful words of life. We pray, Lord, as we consider this your very law, that your spirit would work mightily in our hearts. Convict us, Lord, where we need conviction. Encourage us where we need encouragement, Lord. And in all things, help us to know and to walk rightly with you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the very and holy word of God written for you and for me today. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, and may he add his blessing to the reading of it to us. Well, people of God, thus far in his law, our great God has made clear the who of our worship, that being the Lord our God and him alone. He has made clear the how of our worship. He desires to be worshiped according to what he prescribes and commands in his word. God has also wonderfully made clear the manner of our worship and it being done in all reverence. And if you think about it, the holiness of God is also marvelously put before us in the first three commandments. Our God is holy. His worship is holy. And it's set apart. And his name is holy. And so how glorious it is to revere and to esteem the name of our God. As we considered this past week, if you were to take an inventory of your thoughts and words, what would they reveal about your heart, especially in how you treat God's name? Do you treat it as holy? Again, it's because of Christ saving us that we are freed from continuing as profane, as flippant, blasphemers, and we are transformed into those who revere and respect his name, to those who delight in honoring his name. And our zeal and delight in such treatment comes from a heart that desires to please God. It also is rightly supported by the grave warning that God will not hold guiltless those who take his name in vain and misuse it. God, my friends, is jealous of the honor of his name and pays special attention to how his name is used. And so it is a joy for the Christian to be serious in using it as well. Now, as we come to the fourth commandment this morning, which is the end of the first table of the law, the end of God's commands in the moral law regarding our duties to him, we continue to see the holiness of God on display as he teaches us the when, the time that we are to assemble for worship and rest. Puritan John Owen said that the fourth commandment is the keeper of the whole first table because it's designed that the worship required by the first three commandments is properly observed. And as is true of all of the commandments, the fourth commandment is a very important commandment. And actually, it's one that has been full of its share of debate as to how it's to be kept in the details. However, Scripture is very helpful in its teaching and guidance in this. And so let's dive into it together this morning. And as we do so, let's consider how God laid the foundation and the groundwork for when his day began and how it should be viewed and honored. And we'll then look at God's command for us to remember it and to keep it holy in verse 8. We'll look at the pattern of one day in seven that is to be maintained in verses 9 through 10a. And we'll also then finally look at preparation for the Lord's Day. And as you can tell, we are going to spend more than one Lord's Day considering this commandment, Lord willing. But in regards to the Lord establishing this day, instituting it, consecrating it, we need to understand the fact that how God views and treats and commands us to keep his day must influence and guide us as to how we do so. And now some of you may think that God's giving of the fourth commandment here in Exodus 20 is the first time that he has revealed to his people anything pertaining to the Sabbath. And yet, let alone the first time that God gave them any command about it either. But know, and to keep in your mind, that God's establishing of the Sabbath day happened long before the giving of his moral law. It goes all the way back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. And in fact, turn with me to Genesis 1, if you would. We'll consider a few verses here as we highlight some things that are important in this chapter. As we read verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What do we see there? God created space, the heavens and the earth. He created time, day and night, morning and evening, we see in verse 5. God created seasons and years, verse 14. He created the seven-day week, verse 31. And look with me there at verse 31 of chapter 1. It says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so, now what did God do then on the seventh day? If he created in 6 days, it was all very good. There was evening and morning on the sixth day. What happened on the seventh? Look at the next verse in chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Now notice three important words here in these three verses: rested, blessed, and sanctified. Rested, blessed, and sanctified. Our English word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat. And Shabbat means rest. In Genesis chapter 2, we read that having completed the work of creation, God himself rested. Now clearly, God's choosing to rest from work on the seventh day wasn't because God gets tired. It's meant to demonstrate for us a regular weekly rhythm that we must not neglect. We'll consider more about this in a few moments. But further see how God blessed the day, marking his approval of it. He also set one day aside. He sanctified it, meaning that God set it apart and made it holy. My friends, the Lord's Day is a sacred day because it's a sanctified day that is holy to the Lord. And so therefore, it is to be treated as special and different from every other day of the week. This is something that we really need to grasp. And as we grasp it by God's grace, then that understanding will bear fruit that is evident in how we keep his day. In addition to God's rest and blessing of the Lord's Day in Genesis 2, we also find God, through Moses, giving the people Sabbath instruction in Exodus chapter 16. And so as we come to his giving of the fourth commandment in our text today here in chapter 20, we know that Sabbath day observance has already been instituted. And yet, what is his call to his people at the beginning of Exodus 20, verse 8? Look at verse 8 with me in chapter 20 of Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He says, remember the Sabbath day. And why did God call Israel to remember his day? Because they were often tempted to forget. They were often drawn to themselves and their own desires. Israel was tempted to profane the day that God had made holy. In fact, we see in Scripture that failure to keep the Sabbath always paralleled religious decline in Israel. Whenever the fire of religious zeal waned in Israel, the Sabbath became more a day of trade than of worship. And this has been true of the church throughout the centuries as well, hasn't it? From the beginning, we see a parallel between the decline in religious zeal and failure to keep the Lord's Day. Now take note of these two important words in verse 8. Remember and keep. Remember and keep. We need to remember the day that God has consecrated as holy in order to then faithfully keep it, to observe it, to not alienate it to any other purpose than that for which God has instituted. Think back, right? Think back to the second and the third commandment. Think back to the second commandment, how we worship God. We worship God according to how he has commanded and instituted that we should in his word. Here we see that God's given a day. He set it apart. He's made it holy. And therefore, we shouldn't be doing things on that day that God forbids, but we should be doing things on that day that God commands. We must not defile the day or desecrate it. And so a good question then is, how are we to keep his day holy, right? Well, God begins to answer this question as he speaks to what we are to do during the seven-day week that he created. The commandment speaks to a particular activity that must not be done on the Sabbath day because it would defile it. Specifically, the command forbids our work, our common work on the Sabbath. Common here is distinct from that which is holy. And we're going to consider more of this and what is forbidden in this commandment next week, Lord willing. But notice how God sets the pattern in verse 9. In verse 9, he says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. So we are to work 6 days out of the week. We are to be diligent in our labors in work as unto the Lord. Right? But, and look at that word in verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. It's unique. It's special. It's holy. It's not like the other days. And see that God has set aside one whole day in seven that is to be different from the rest, that is to be free of our common labors. And therefore, it's our duty to keep one whole day in seven as holy. Beloved, this is one reason why morning and evening worship is a blessing as we bookend the Lord's Day, beginning and end in corporate worship. Being mindful of this one whole day being dedicated and holy to the Lord. And so another good question is, which whole day do we keep? Do we get to pick a day? No. The Lord has directed his people in this. The Sabbath was the seventh day of the week, Saturday, from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ. And at Jesus' resurrection, the Sabbath for Christians was changed to the first day of the week, Sunday, ever since. And so to continue this day to the end of the world. It is the Christian Sabbath. And in the New Testament, it's referred to by the Apostle John as the Lord's Day. We see that in Revelation 1, verse 10. And so where does Scripture teach us this change in the Sabbath day? Well, we can begin in the resurrection account in Matthew 28, verse 1. The change is clear, especially in the Greek, as Matthew speaks of the end of the Sabbath and the first day of the week dawning. Matthew 28, verse 1, it says there, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb." Now it's interesting in the Greek that after the Sabbath, that word is sabbaton. And sabbaton is actually plural, even though the English here is singular. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn. Now, first day of the week can be translated a couple of different ways, and the Greek behind it can be a couple of different things, right? But here, it's also sabbaton. Okay? So, after the Sabbath, meaning the Saturday Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, as the first of the Sabbaths in the Greek began to dawn. Okay, that's one of the kind of technical, wonderful things in God's Word to consider. Now, much more could be said on that, and there are other things to include in this. I'm not trying to get into how the sausage is made here. But to encourage you that there are gems and wonderful things to see even in the original languages that teach us and help us with these things. So we also see the change to Sunday is true by the example and practice of the disciples in the early church. During the evening of the day Christ arose, if you look at John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20, we read there, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." Again, we see the assembly of the saints on the first day of the week. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. So we see the disciples were gathering for worship together here on the first day of the week. Paul instructed Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So we see this as a collection for the saints, what we refer to in our bulletin as such even, right? A collection of an offering for the work of ministry for the Lord. So the first day of the week is the Sabbath that we are to carry our duties out upon and that we are to keep holy. And further, we need to be mindful that it's good and right for us to prepare for the day so that we are ready for when it comes. Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 21, section 8 says this, "The Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe a holy rest all the day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but are also taken up the whole time in the public and private exercises of his worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy." Works of necessity and mercy we'll also consider next week as we consider duties on the Lord's Day more. But a question I want to ask you this morning is, do you prepare your hearts and your affairs beforehand for the Lord's Day? How do you get ready for this climax in our week? Right? How do you get ready for the holy day of the Lord? Is it something that maybe you just focus on in the morning as you're getting ready and that's about it? Or do you do something the day before to prepare? Consider Exodus chapter 16. You can turn with me there if you'd like. Exodus 16, I made reference to the chapter earlier, but I do want to read this passage together. Exodus chapter 16, beginning in verse 22, we read there, "And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning.' So they laid it up until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, 'Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none.' Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, and therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day.' So the people rested on the seventh day." Brothers and sisters, oftentimes today, even as we consider the preparation of the people then, oftentimes today we're go, go, go on Saturday with shopping and fun and activities and sports and trips and etc., and that's all fine. But I want to encourage you to take some time on Saturday to prepare for the Lord's Day. Get your shopping done on Saturday for what you need on Sunday. Take time to prepare your mind and your heart, even, that the Lord's Day would truly be delightful in worship and rest. This is the holy day of the Lord, right? If that's the foundation that he has established and that he calls us then to observe, it's a privilege to do so, right? More on this to come as well. But I'll leave you with this. May God's consecration of the Sabbath day, his setting it apart and his making it holy, along with his commands of what should be done and what must not be done on it, form our foundational view of it and increase our zeal to keep it. We must not profane his worship. We must not profane his name. We must not profane his day either. But rather, treat it as special and different from every other day of the week. It's not a burden to do so. It's a joy to do so. Get yourself and your desires out of the way and focus on what God desires and requires. Delight in the day. Prepare for the day that you may be more free and fit for the duties of the day. Be thankful for the day. It is a glorious day. Today is a glorious day. And we get to enjoy it every week. Right? Remember that it is an honor and privilege to do so. Praise God for his word. More on this.